This morning on WCHL, Arthur is a hurricane, and it's crawling its way to the east coast of North Carolina. Two candidates are left in the race for Orange County's next sheriff. And in a WCHL forum yesterday, a disagreement was really hard to come by.
I would agree with that.
I think that's a great point that he made on that.
David's absolutely right.
And as you said, I do agree with that.
Early voting kicks off this morning. One person who may have a pretty persuasive vote has made his decision.
He's done a great job, and I think is a candidate who is really a people's person.
And the division of UNC will be the next entity to hold ownership of the old Chapel Hill Library. These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill Carb Road traffic and weather together. And WCHL Championship Sports, just because it's summer doesn't mean the Carolina men's basketball team isn't hard at work. And
the World Cup on a Tuesday afternoon drew more viewers than the NBA final.
That's this morning in our Chansky Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's morning news with Ron Stutz begins now.
7:07 at WCHL. We have 74 degrees this morning, starting out rather warm. Our high today in the upper 80s. We have a chance of showers and or thunderstorms in the afternoon. And we went to bed last night talking about Tropical Storm Arthur. Now we wake up this morning and it's a hurricane. We have meteorologist Ryan Ellis at the National Weather Service office in Raleigh. And Ryan, when did Arthur become a hurricane and what is it doing right now?
With the 5 o'clock a.m. update, we found out that with the hurricane hunters flying through the storm that the winds had increased and that they were probably about 75 miles per hour now, which is enough to upgrade to a Category 1 hurricane. But other than that, the update hasn't changed too much. The track is still on for maybe just off the coast of the Carolinas with the left side of the storm sweeping through the Outer Banks and then traveling off to the northeast.
Is this particular storm moving slower than most hurricanes do?
No, it's about average, and it will pick up to probably faster than average by the time the next cold front moves through, and that's what could be affecting our area here in central North Carolina later today, and the jet stream associated with that front will help to speed up the storm and move it up the coast actually rather quickly so that by 2 a.m. Saturday, it'll be off the coast of Cape Cod and then up into the Canadian Maritimes by 2 a.m. on Sunday.
There's been a mandatory evacuation notice that's gone out for Hatteras Island off the coast of North Carolina. Do you expect more of those kinds of notices to go out? And how much wind and rain will spin off to us inland here in the Triangle?
Well, as far as the evacuations go, I think that may be limited to the Outer Banks. And then, of course, we always have to look at the storm surge out there and the shifting nature of the land out there, which has the risk of cutting people off, as we see when Highway 12 gets washed out. That always has a possibility of happening, and so therefore the mandatory evacuations there. Other places, though, the storm may not get that close to the coast. Here in central North Carolina, we may see a rain band or two associated with it, especially east of Raleigh. Otherwise, from Raleigh to the west, probably that cold front pushing in is going to keep things confined to the east.
Everybody waking up this morning wants to know, will this affect July 4th celebrating the fireworks here in the Chapel Hill Carrboro community and all over the Triangle, and also those traveling to the Outer Banks? What kind of 4th of July will they have?
Well, certainly for those folks traveling to the east and those already out there in the Outer Banks, it could be a wet 4th of July. But back here in the Triangle, maybe not so bad. As that front moves through, we're going to get some drier air behind that. And so our forecast here for central North Carolina for the 4th be a little bit warm, but a little bit cooler than we've seen the last couple of days with highs in the mid-80s. And the chance of rain right now for any Friday night festivities is quite low. Less than 20% at this time.
All right. That's the kind of news I like to hear. That is meteorologist Ryan Ellis with the National Weather Service. We will stay in touch. With early voting getting underway today and Election Day itself only 2 weeks away, the two remaining candidates for Orange County Sheriff met here in the WCHL studios yesterday for a forum that featured more agreement than disagreement.
I would agree with that.
And I think that's a great point that he made on that.
David's absolutely right.
And as you said, I do agree with that.
Longtime law enforcement officers and longtime colleagues Charles Blackwood and David Caldwell were the top two vote-getters in the May primary that featured six candidates in all. They're now facing each other in a runoff this month because neither got more than 40% of the vote. Technically, the race is only for the Democratic nomination, but no Republicans are running, so the winner of the runoff on July 15th will be unopposed in November. In yesterday's forum, the strongest point of departure may have been on the issue of diversity. Caldwell called for stronger efforts to recruit a more diverse body of law enforcement officers, while Blackwood argued that the sheriff's office already has a diverse staff.
It's going to be recruiting, and how do we recruit? We go into the schools.
We're above the quote, I want a department that is reflectionary of the agency of the county we serve. So I think we're doing a great job.
But even there, both candidates agreed in the need to recruit a diverse pool of officers. And the fact that diversity alone isn't sufficient without an effort to make personal connections with the community.
It doesn't matter how good you speak it. If you're not there, you're not there.
It's great to have those people, but we got to have them on the street.
And both candidates agreed as well on the need for more community outreach, closer collaboration with Orange County's other law enforcement agencies, and in an emotional exchange, the continued presence of school resource officers in our public schools.
The safety factor is the primary issue that we're dealing with, but the byproduct of this is you've got a mentor for that student, for that child that they may not have at home.
And I think we need to see more in there doing that, not just that security aspect, but being there when school is not in, not when you have your badge and uniform on, but being there when they're relaxed. You find they'll come to you with their problems.
If you missed it, or if you'd like to hear it again, you can hear the entire forum by finding this story on our website, chapelboro.com. We'll also re-air it here on WCHL tonight at 8 o'clock. Early voting for Orange County's new sheriff starts this morning. Current Sheriff Lindy Pendergrass says he's casting his vote for candidate Charles Blackwood. The runoff race for sheriff has Blackwood, a 32-year veteran and retiree of the sheriff's office, facing fellow Democrat David Caldwell, now community organizer for Rogers Road, and also a retiree of the department after 22 years. That's in the second primary. Blackwood got the highest total in the May 6th primary with 30.34% of the vote. Caldwell right behind at 29.98%, according to the North Carolina State Board of Elections. Despite Caldwell's two decades of experience, Pendergrass feels Blackwood is a better fit, saying Blackwood has succeeded in working in every area of responsibility of the sheriff's office.
Charles Blackwood, and he's come through the ranks, all of the different facets of duties, and he's done a great job, and I think is a candidate who is really a people's person, and I would think Charles is my choice of the two, not any disrespect to Lieutenant Caldwell.
Pendergrass told WCHL he was also among six initial candidates vying to be sheriff when he won the 1982 election that named him the county's top lawman. After working 58 years and serving 32 years as Orange County's sheriff, Pendergrass says he will now have to find a new job to keep him occupied. Before he calls it quit, however, Lindy Pendergrass has some advice for the new guy in charge.
You may be elected as sheriff to serve the people of Orange County, but it's their office, and they are the people who we must look after in all areas. Whatever the problem the citizen has, we have to take their problem at heart, and we have to go forth and do everything we can 24/7, 365, because we are their servants.
For more in this story, you can visit WCHL's website, chapelboro.com. Early voting for Orange County's next sheriff begins this morning, of course, but you have to travel to Hillsborough to make your pick. Charles Blackwood and David Caldwell, whoever you vote for, you will have to go to Hillsborough. Only one location is open for the runoff election, Orange County Board of Elections headquarters in Hillsborough. Director Tracy Reams says that's the way it's always done for early voting. since turnout for a runoff is historically low. All 44 precincts will be open on Election Day, July 15th. The polls open at 6:30 a.m. and close at 7:30 that night. Early voting begins this morning at 9. The poll will be open there until 5 p.m. Polls are closed on Friday for the July 4th holiday. Next Monday through Friday, the polls are open from 9 to 5. And Saturday, July 12th, open from 9 until 1. Again, that's at the Orange County location only in Hillsborough. If you'd like more information on the runoff election for Orange County Sheriff, you can read this story on our website, appleborough.com. Investigative documents and 911 calls regarding the murder investigation of UNC student Faith Hedgepeth were unsealed yesterday, according to the Daily Tar Heel. That story and more news coming up in a moment. WCHL's Traffic and Weather Together now. This traffic report is brought to you this morning by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace.
Thank you very much, Ron. 15501 southbound. Still seeing a bit of a delay right now between I-40 and Ephesus Church Road. Just minor to moderate delays there, really nothing major. You know, you might see even less traffic today because everybody might be getting a jump start on the holiday weekend.
Exactly.
You always see when they get that one day off, they take another one and maybe another one.
A lot of people will also be off on Monday.
That's true.
Putting a lot of days together. They're in a stretch.
Very good point. Very good point. Wish I could have capitalized on that.
Me too.
But we'll be glad to be celebrating tomorrow with you, Ron. I think I've got a special tie in store for you.
Oh, I can't wait.
One that you love.
It has a flag on it?
It does have that.
All right.
Yeah.
I figured.
It's one of your favorites.
I think I've seen it before.
You have?
I think I already marked on it last year.
You did that. All right. I wore it twice last year, actually. I can't remember. I must have done maybe... I can't remember what the other day was. But
one thing's for sure, you won't find me wearing a tie tomorrow.
I believe that.
I may be wearing something patriotic, but it won't be a tie, I promise.
Well, for you listening, if you see anything on the roadways that we need to report, you can certainly be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363, or you can tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace serves fresh brewed coffee fast, guaranteed to taste great. Feel up this morning at Cruisers. Good to go. At WCHL Chapel Hill Carver weather, 74 degrees, partly sunny, showers and thunderstorms likely in the afternoon. Our high today in the upper 80s. A chance of rain is 70%. That will extend all the way through tonight. Our overnight low in the upper 60s. And then tomorrow, everybody's wondering about because of the hurricane off the coast. For Independence Day, partly sunny, 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the morning tomorrow. Our high tomorrow in the middle 80s. And then tomorrow night, mostly clear with a low about 60. Chance of rain, as meteorologist Ryan Ellis told us, less than 20% for late of the day and for tomorrow night. So that sounds pretty good for 4th of July celebrating, if you ask me. We'll keep an eye on it, of course, and let you know what happens with that storm.
Wake up with Ron Stutz. And remember, we're your station for the Tar Heels. This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL.
718 at WCHL. Investigative documents and 911 calls regarding the murder investigation of UNC student Faith Hedgepeth were unsealed Wednesday. Finally, according to the Daily Tar Heel, Durham County Superior Court Judge Howard Manning ordered the redacted search warrants and unredacted 911 calls to be released after the Daily Tar Heel, Capital Broadcasting Company, Inc., and the News and Observer Publishing Company filed a motion to halt the sealing orders on March 3rd. A 911 call tells how Hedgepeth's roommate, Karina Rosario, found her face down in her bedroom. She told the 911 operator that she believed someone was in their apartment and even Rosario's room. The search warrants released were heavily redacted, but they showed that the Facebook accounts and laptops of Rosario were searched. The apartment was searched on September 7th and 10th, and the police searched a 2012 Jeep on September 11th. 19-year-old Hedgepeth was found dead by her friends in her off-campus apartment on September 7th, 2012. The cause of death remains sealed, although Hedgepeth's parents have said they believe she was beaten to death. Durham County District Attorney Leon Standback first asked the court to seal the documents 3 days after Hedgepeth's death to keep from compromising the investigation. Since then, the documents have been sealed every 60 days until the motion to halt the orders was filed. According to the state's previous motion to keep the documents sealed, there were search warrants for a 1977 Honda Accord, a unit in Hedgepeth's apartment complex, and her own apartment. WNCN reported investigators also searched a laptop and a Facebook account. Standback told WCHL News back in September of last year that he would seek to keep the documents sealed for as long as the courts would allow. The Durham District Attorney's Office will prosecute a suspect should any arrests be made. The Chapel Hill Police Department is the investigating agency. On January 8th of this year, the Chapel Hill Police Department released details of the investigation, including DNA of a male suspect found at the scene. Authorities continue to seek any information that could help. Anyone with information should call the Chapel Hill Police Department or Crime Stoppers. A reward up to $39,000 is available to anyone with information that can help solve the case. We have that contact information on our website at chapelboro.com. The University of North Carolina Arts and Sciences Foundation is the winning bidder for the old Chapel Hill Public Library on Franklin Street. There was a town council meeting last night to decide that. We'll have that story coming up for you at the bottom of the hour on WCHL. 7:21. Championship sports. Carolina men's basketball team is back out on the court for summer practice, preparing for the upcoming 2014-2015 college basketball season. WCHL's Matt Oakes has more on the story.
Although mired in the hovering dark cloud of academic scandal and being largely overshadowed these days by the likes of uber-talented Duke and Kentucky, head coach Roy Williams' Carolina squad is quietly going about its business this summer, taking advantage of a new NCAA policy enacted a couple seasons ago that allows teams to meet 2 hours per week for official summer practice. The Tar Heels are getting their first real look at some fresh new faces. It's a crash course for the young guys, veteran Jackson Simmons says. The highly touted freshman trio of Joel Berry, Justin Jackson, and Theo Pinson are taking the challenge of elite college basketball head on with the help of the upperclassmen. Joel James says the summer provides a relatively low-pressure training ground for the new guys before getting thrown into the crucible of the ACC basketball season. Simmons also says it's a vital opportunity for the older players to get to know the strengths, weaknesses, and tendencies of their new teammates. But summer practice is not only a wading pool for the incoming freshmen to ease in and get their feet wet. It's brutal competition, too. With the wide array of Tar Heels in the NBA, the summer affords current Carolina players the chance to test their skills against seasoned professionals in pickup games. That's not bad preparation. So how are the Tar Heels looking? Well, one name that's been popping up so far this summer is Kennedy Meeks. The sophomore reportedly continues to get in better and better shape, shedding a few extra pounds. That's music to the ears of Coach Williams. Notably, Nate Britt has made the switch from shooting left-handed to right-handed in the offseason. That news was met with perplexity by many observers, but early reports say Britt has been shooting lights out in recent pickup games. Another prominent returning UNC player's name that's been circulating around is Joel James. James says his injury last December derailed his momentum on the floor, but signs are pointing towards a James that could be much more of a dominant force inside, a welcome development for the Tar Heels. Most preseason projections place Carolina inside somewhere between number 5 and number 10 in the rankings, but for now, the UNC players, young and old, seem focused on seizing the summer, taking care of their own business, and improving each day. Matt Oakes, 97.9 FM, WCHO.
Thanks, Matt, for that report. And I'll tell you, if you're in Chapel Hill, some of the best basketball in the world gets played in the offseason right here in Chapel Hill with current and former players getting together for scrimmages over there on the UNC campus. That's a quick look at WCHL Championship Sports. I'm Rod Stutz.
Our Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
The World Cup on a Tuesday afternoon drew more viewers than the NBA Finals. This is our Chansky with Thursday Sports Notebook. When you heard about the World Cup receiving higher ratings than the NBA Finals in primetime, what did you think? This is truly America's team, the best opportunity for all of us to band together and root for the same outcome. No jeering Coach K or LeBron in the Olympics, just a patriotic outpouring of fan affection from the masses. Or maybe you thought America just loves a party, especially on a Tuesday afternoon in the dead of summer. If you believe that as many people, more than 21 million, schedule their day around the USA-Belgium game, you are right. And TV ratings do not include public places. Only Nielsen numbers from home TVs. Considering that, you might want to double the number of people tuning in. Every bar I watched the World Cup, from Ghana in Chapel Hill to Portugal on Nantucket Island, to Germany in a small tavern on Cape Cod, to Belgium in a packed bar at the Boston airport, people were drawn to the action. And the action in a soccer game is a few dramatic missed chances and far more O's to signal near misses than the eruptions that follow goals. Like when Chris Wondolowski flicked the ball over the open net in the final minute of regulation against Belgium, the O's could be heard across the countryside, along with a few expletive deleteds, like, how can you miss that effing shot? That shot, if netted, would have sent the U.S. team on to play Argentina in the quarterfinals and made an even bigger record audience drop what they were doing to watch a soccer game, getting chummy with strangers and asking lots of questions. Most popular party questions, would it go to overtime, called extra time, or do they go right to the shootout? Is the extra time sudden death, or do they have to finish the first period like the OTs we know? And even after Belgium scored once and scored again, it still got loud because the rules call for the full two extra times of 15 minutes each to be finished, even if one team was leading at the end of the first. So many questions, so much fun among all of your new friends. It did seem like a party. Too bad all parties must end sometime. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
At Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace Headquarters, we are thrilled with the tremendous response to our hot, fresh coffee, but we need to clarify a few points. Cruiser's brews fresh coffee and discards any that doesn't get enjoyed while fresh. This not-so-fresh coffee is not available for purchase and resale by other coffee shops. Though Cruiser's sells coffee shop-quality coffee using 100% Arabica beans, we cannot provide the snooty service often associated with coffee shops. And although our taste rate guarantee is a wonderful start, we cannot guarantee that the rest of your day will be perfect. That, my friend, is up to you. Fresh, great-tasting coffee, guaranteed, only at Cruiser's. Good to go.
Perry locked himself out of his car. Should he A, call his amateur wrestler friend with fists of steel, or B, get roadside assistance from the Geico mobile app? The correct answer is B. The Geico mobile app uses GPS, so Perry can get roadside assistance quickly without saying a word. It's like telepathy. Perry's steel-fisted friend would dent up the door and break stuff. Geico's mobile app is speedy and makes it easy for Perry to get roadside assistance with the tap of his finger.
Geico. Wherever, whenever. Just a click away with our free mobile app.
Fitz Lumber and Hardware has been in business since 1907 and been here in downtown Carrboro since 1923. We've always strived to provide you with the three most valuable things in the construction supply business: competitive prices, excellent customer service, and top quality building products. That's our goal to you. So please stop by to see just why Fitz Lumber and Hardware has been going strong for over a century. You'll be glad you did. We appreciate your business. Here comes Fitch.
For years, the brokers at Weaver Street Realty were known as the Muddy Boots Land Team. They still call themselves that. They can read surveys. They know septics. They know wells. Whether it's an in-town lot or a 100-acre tract, they will put on their muddy boots and walk land with you through an unmatched level of expertise and service. The Weaver Street Team has earned customers for life through repeat business and referrals. They listen with compassion and act with confidence. Stop by on Main Street in Carrboro or check them out at WeaverStreetRealty.com.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Carolina Air Conditioning Company. It's 72% off a $140 summer air conditioning checkup available today for only $39. Summer is really here and your AC has been running for months. Cool it off and check it out with today's Our Local Deal. Carolina Air Conditioning has been in the HVAC business since 1947. Their certified specialist will provide you with a 5-star 26-point heating and cooling checkup. It's 72% off from Carolina Air Conditioning Company, and it's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
Hi, this is Ron Stutz. Join me at Keenan Stadium on Friday, July 4th, for one of Chapel Hill's brightest traditions, the Town of Chapel Hill's July 4th Celebration. Performing live at 7:30 p.m., the Triangle's very own Bull City Syndicate, plus a 4th of July fireworks extravaganza at 9:30. Gates open at 7. Get there early for DSI Comedy Theater's July 4th Watermelon Eating Contest. I'll be there as your master of ceremonies. Donations encouraged at the gate. For more info, log on to townofchapelhill.org/July4.
Wake up every morning with one of Chapel Hill's leading action adults, Ron Stutz in the Morning News. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Good morning. It is 729 at WCHL. Everybody waking up this morning to the news that Tropical Storm Arthur is now Hurricane Arthur, and it is coming to the coast of North Carolina. The left side of that storm will brush the coast, the outer banks, more likely. And our weather here is not going to be affected a lot. We'll tell you all about that in just a moment. It's brought to you by Grimble Jewelers. If you need an engagement ring or the custom piece of jewelry you've been dreaming of for a long time, remember that Grimble Jewelers is always there for you. Go see Berkeley Grimble, Chapel Hill's premier full-service jeweler, Grimble's, in the Village Plaza on Elliott Road, next door to Whole Foods. All right, 74 degrees, a little bit on the warm side this morning. It's going to be another muggy day, although the temperatures won't be as high today. High today in the upper 80s. Well, that's a little bit of a relief. Showers and thunderstorms likely later on in the day. 70% chance of rain. Same thing for tonight. 70% chance of rain and showers and thunderstorms in our forecast. Overnight low about 68 degrees. Tomorrow, Independence Day. Partly sunny. 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms early in the day. And probably in the morning. High tomorrow about 85, but then late tomorrow and tomorrow night, it's going to be nice, mostly clear with a low around 60 degrees. That'll lead us into Saturday where it will be sunny with a high in the middle 80s. So actually good weather for the 4th of July.
Check out our comprehensive community calendar, photo galleries, and all of our news stories and more from 97.9 FM WCHL on chapelboro.com.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett on the North Carolina coast. Hurricane Arthur to you. 75 mile per hour sustained winds now. Jim Crisula.
A mandatory evacuation order is now in effect for Hatteras Island at the southern end of the Outer Banks. Tens of thousands of residents and tourists are packing up and heading out.
Stacy Stewart at the National Hurricane Center. How about strengthening?
Could have winds of 85 to maybe 90 miles per hour by the time it makes landfall or gets very near the Outer Banks of North Carolina on Independence Day.
Maybe it'll hit land and be out of there quickly, maybe by lunchtime tomorrow. That's what Dare County Manager Bobby Outen is hoping.
You never want to have one, and if you're going to have one, you certainly don't want to have it on the 4th of July because that's sort of the big kickoff weekend on the Outer Banks.
On the beach at Killdevil Hills, North Carolina.
We're just going to hunker down and just hang out at home and barbecue inside and maybe see a movie.
CBS News Update. I'm Dave Barrett.
WCHL News, Talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
732, 74 degrees. I hope she didn't mean they were going to actually grill inside. That would not be a good idea. Never is. But some people use that verb, barbecue, in a different way than those of us in the South talk about grilling out or barbecuing or whatever the case may be. Partly sunny today. Showers and thunderstorms likely in the afternoon, 70%. But by this time tomorrow, it's going to be down. Right, nice. There was a very important meeting last night with the Chapel Hill Town Council. The University of North Carolina Arts and Sciences Foundation is the winning bidder for the old Chapel Hill Public Library building on Franklin Street. WCHL's Danny Hooley was there at Wednesday's Chapel Hill Town Council meeting when the vote was taken and filed this report.
Is there anyone here today who was able to provide comments orally to the council at a previous meeting on this issue, who would like to speak to me? Well, thank you very much for that.
That was Chapel Hill Mayor Mark Kleinschmidt. It seemed that everyone who squeezed into tiny meeting room C of the Chapel Hill Public Library on Wednesday evening had already spoken their minds about the sale of the old public library, a little more than 1.5 miles away on East Franklin Street. The special meeting of the town council was called to choose one of four serious bidders for the property. By Wednesday, the contenders were actually down to just three. Arts Center Board of Directors Chair Jay Miller had withdrawn his $752,000 bid, the minimum asking price to buy the old library for use as a nonprofit hub. Miller told the council on Wednesday that the price had now become, quote, prohibitive. The remaining applicants were the UNC Arts and Sciences Foundation, Chabad of Chapel Hill, and Chris and Ann Cox. But first, there was another matter to discuss. There was a request from Preservation North Carolina to receive 2% of the purchase price for its work in marketing the property instead of the agreed-upon $5,000 fee. PNC's request for more money was based on the process taking longer and being more complicated than anticipated. Most council members said they thought it was a fair request, but council member Matt Chakowski said he couldn't see how PNC merited the extra money. Mayor Pro Tem Sally Green countered that real estate agents typically charge higher commissions than 2.5%.
Unlike a real estate transaction, it's not over when it's over here. They have oversight responsibilities, and they're going to be working with the purchaser to oversee and make sure that the renovations are consistent with the agreement. And I think it's very reasonable what they proposed.
Kleinschmidt asked for a show of hands to see how many council members supported giving PNC 2.5%, and it was 7-2 in favor, with Chakowski and Jim Ward voting no. Then it was time to discuss the three bids, although it was really down to just two. And one was clearly the favorite, as signaled during the opening remarks by council member Lee Storrow.
I guess my preference is to sell it to the UNC College of Arts and Sciences Foundation.
I think they put together a strong application. I've been impressed with the immediate feedback we've received from the neighbors and the people in close proximity.
The meeting's agenda packet was filled with emails and letters supporting the application from the UNC Arts and Sciences Foundation to use the old library as its headquarters. The foundation plans to renovate the building with two conference rooms that would be available for use by community organizations after business hours. The offer was for $1.25 million plus $475,000 as a payment in lieu of property taxes. An offer from Chris and Ann Cox to pay $1.4 million for the building and make it a cultural center with rental space was mentioned only a few times in passing, although with kind words all around. But the most serious competing bid came from Chabad of Chapel Hill, which made a purchase offer of $1.8 million. Chabad wanted to make the old library a community center with a focus on learning. Neighbors had expressed concerns to the council regarding Chabad buying the building, based on uncertainty about what activities would take place there. Chakowski offered strong initial support for Chabad's bid. He argued that it wouldn't be the first time the council had imposed a structure on a neighborhood that was initially opposed to it, citing the SECU Community House on Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard as a recent example.
We agreed with the neighbors that they had valid concerns. Many council members said they didn't think those concerns would materialize, but agreed that they were valid. And we therefore spent close to a year on an extremely intensive effort to create a good neighbor agreement.
Chakowski asked if a good neighbor agreement between Chabad and residents of the neighborhood near the old public library was possible. Instead, the conversation turned to relative financial benefits for the town. The revised resolution was for a purchase price of $1.25 million with an 18-month window for rezoning and an option to waive taxes in favor of a one-time minimum payment of $475,000 that would not be considered a portion of the purchase price. Storo asked to include a guarantee that the town has the right of second refusal if the building is to be sold in the future. The council also included a stipulation forbidding the transfer of the building to any public agency with the exception of the town of Chapel Hill. The resolution for the Arts and Sciences Foundation to buy the building passed unanimously. For more on this story, you can read it at chapelboro.com. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Well, early voting gets underway this morning. Election Day itself is only two weeks away. The two remaining candidates out of six candidates in all when they started for Orange County Sheriff met at the WCHL studios yesterday for a forum with Aaron Keck that featured more agreement than disagreement.
I would agree with that.
And I think that's a great point that he made on that.
David's absolutely right.
And as you said, I do agree with that.
Longtime law enforcement officers and longtime colleagues Charles Blackwood and David Caldwell were the top two vote-getters in the May primary. They're facing each other in a runoff this month because neither got more than 40% of the vote. Technically, the race is only for the Democratic nomination, but no Republicans are running, so the winner of the runoff on July 15th will be unopposed in November. In yesterday's forum, the strongest point of departure may have been on the issue of diversity. Caldwell called for stronger efforts to recruit a more diverse body of law enforcement officers, while Blackwood argued that the sheriff's office already has a diverse staff.
It's going to be recruiting, and how do we recruit? We go into the schools.
We're above the quote, I want a department that is reflectionary of the agency of the county we serve. So I think we're doing a great job.
But even there, both candidates agree on the need to recruit a diverse pool of officers and the fact that diversity alone isn't sufficient without an effort to make personal connections within the community.
It doesn't matter how good you speak it. If you're not there, you're not there.
It's great to have those people, but we got to have them on the street.
Both candidates agreed as well on the need for more community outreach, closer collaboration with Orange County's other law enforcement agencies, and in an emotional exchange, the continued presence of school resource officers in our public schools.
The safety factor is the primary issue that we're dealing with, but the byproduct of this is you've got a mentor for that student, for that child that they may not have at home.
And I think we need to see more in there doing that, not just that security aspect, but being there when school is not in, not when you have your badge and uniform on, but being there when they're relaxed. You'll find they'll come to you with their problems.
If you missed it, or if you'd like to listen again, you can hear the entire forum by finding the story on WCHL's website, chapelboro.com, and we'll also re-air it tonight on WCHL beginning at 8 o'clock. Early voting starting today. Current Sheriff Lindy Pendergrass, who's been in that office for 32 years, says he's casting his vote for candidate Charles Blackwood. The runoff race for sheriff has Blackwood, who is a 32-year veteran and retiree of the sheriff's department, facing fellow Democrat David Caldwell, now community organizer for Rogers Road, and also a retiree after 22 years. Blackwood got the highest total in the May 6 primary with 30.34% of the vote. Caldwell received 29.98%. That's about as close as you can get. There were four other candidates in those numbers, according to the North Carolina State Board of Elections. Despite Caldwell's two decades of experience, Pendergrass feels Blackwood is a better fit, saying Blackwood has succeeded in working in every area of responsibility at the sheriff's office.
Charles Blackwood, and he's come through the ranks, all of the different facets of duties, and he's done a great job, and I think is a candidate who is really a people's person. And I would think Charles is my choice of the two, not any disrespect to Lieutenant Caldwell.
For more on this story, visit chapelboro.com. A lot of conversation today, of course, about Hurricane Arthur. Yes, that's right. It is not Tropical Storm Arthur anymore. It is Hurricane Arthur. And with that storm approaching, consumers planning a vacation anywhere on the North Carolina coast are advised to know their rights if they rented a house or reserved a hotel room. Attorney General Roy Cooper says people should check with their hotel or rental agency to know what to expect if they need to evacuate or cannot reach their destination. Cooper says if consumers are not able to reach their vacation rental property, contact the rental agency or landlord. He said any refund would depend upon the specific situation, such as whether alternate routes are open. Many consumers have booked hotel rooms for the 4th of July weekend. Rand and I were talking about earlier, a lot of people make it a long weekend. Cooper says if consumers are concerned they may not be able to keep their reservation because of the severe weather, contact the hotel immediately, let them know, and hopefully something can be worked out for the benefit of everyone. 741 at WCHL. Rand joins me now in the studio, and boy, I'd say what, it would be nice to have a long 4th of July weekend like that, but it would be so frustrating if you had, rented a cottage on the beach or something, a hotel room, and then you can't get there. Maybe, let's say you're going to Hatteras.
Exactly.
You know, they've issued a mandatory evacuation. Mm-hmm. What happens?
You know, what I think of is the Lost Colony, which is the outdoor drama that takes place on Mandio.
Yeah.
My wife performed in it multiple years. My best friend performed in it for a few years as well. And they all have to get out of there, and it's... You know, so they lose the revenue for those days, and they got to find housing for, if they're leaving Mandio, which I can't imagine they wouldn't. I can't imagine anybody would stay. Yeah. Mandio, of course, is an island that is in between mainland North Carolina and the Outer Banks. So it's a little more protected, I guess, but it's in the Sound, and it's just as dangerous, too. So, I think of them all the time when I think of hurricanes hitting the Outer Banks now.
Yeah, and you've heard me talk about how my favorite spot in the Outer Banks is Ocracoke.
Right.
I love
mm-hmm.
Ocracoke.
Yeah.
But I would not want to be there right now because always, anytime there's any kind of a storm,
right.
You know, the folks on the Outer Banks are probably going to have the potential, at least, for getting it much worse than the rest of us.
Exactly. Can you imagine I think it's 52, the one that stretches long and gets you out to the Outer Banks?
12. 12 is the one that goes all the way down.
12 is the one that goes north to south,
yeah.
Exactly. But
yeah,
52,
I
think, is the one that gets you out there.
Yeah.
And that one, once they put that evacuation in, I bet that's just packed because it's one lane in both directions, mm-hmm. And so if there's a lot of traffic on there, and there's usually no passing for most of it, so it's got to be just a terrible trip to have to take if an evacuation's on. But yeah, Route 12, though, mm-hmm. that one washes away every year, every time there's a hurricane. I remember,
all the time.
I don't know if it was last year or the year before, but it washed away for one hurricane, and I think they rebuilt at least most of it, and it washed away again.
Yeah.
And it's
it's
so sad.
Yeah, and it really is. I mean, like when you go to Ocracoke, for example, the only way to get there is on a ferry boat.
From
one way from the south or the north.
That's right.
You got to ride a ferry.
Yep.
One way it's a lot longer than the other way, but mm-hmm. still, it's all complicated. But here, our weather looks like it's going to be really good.
It's not going to be bad. We might get a couple showers, but I think it's going to clear up just in time for fireworks at Kenan Stadium.
And not quite as hot.
Yeah.
High tomorrow, 85.
That's nice. Yeah. Well, I hate to say it, but looking ahead to next week, that is not going to be the case. Yeah, I think we're seeing highs up in the upper 90s next week.
Yep.
Whew.
Well,
but this week's going to be beautiful, and we'll enjoy July 4th with it.
Well, we got to go here. Tell us about what's happening at chapelbro.com.
Well, Kristen Heemstra, who, of course, has some great insight on this, talks about networking for job leads. You'll want to check that out. Of course, there's a bunch of different ways to do so. Check out just how you might want to do that. Also, Susan Murray went out to the Meet the Author Tea and got some great photos. Looks like that's at the Chapel Hill Public Library, the new one, not the one that was just sold off, of course, but the new Chapel Hill Public Library, which is just beautiful, and you'll want to check out those great photos. All the updated information on Arthur as well and that interview with Ryan Ellis of the National Weather Service available on our website, chapelbro.com, with instantly live streaming on an app for that. We will continue to keep you updated on what the weather will be, not only for us specifically, but for the Outer Banks as well. If you are still planning to head out that way, we'll let you know just when you can and what might be the best path to do so.
All right. Right now, there's several people trying to pass through customs on the way from Carborough into Chapel Hill.
There you go.
And we'll let you know what their situation is, too. It is 7:45 at WCHL.
This is Jeff Rubish. Did you know that 70% of the people over the age of 65 will require long-term care? Today, 1 year of long-term care is estimated cost $75,000, and in 30 years it will rise to $250,000. The average age of a buyer is 57, when most people can qualify for good health discounts. A long-term care policy protects you in case you lose the capacity for independent living. Call my office at 913-1144. Schedule a complete review of your insurance. This is Jeff Rubish. Did you know?
At Cruisers Convenience Marketplace Headquarters, we are thrilled with the tremendous response to our hot, fresh coffee, but we need to clarify a few points. Cruisers brews fresh coffee and discards any that doesn't get enjoyed while fresh. This not-so-fresh coffee is not available for purchase and resale by other coffee shops. Though Cruisers sells coffee shop quality coffee using 100% Arabica beans, we cannot provide the snooty service often associated with coffee shops. And although our taste break guarantee is a wonderful start, we cannot guarantee that the rest of your day will be perfect. That, my friend, is up to you. Fresh, great-tasting coffee, guaranteed, only at Cruisers. Good to go.
Perry locked himself out of his car. Should he A, call his amateur wrestler friend with fists of steel, or B, get roadside assistance from the Geico mobile app? The correct answer is B. The Geico mobile app uses GPS, so Perry can get roadside assistance quickly without saying a word. It's like telepathy. Perry's steel-fisted friend would dent up the door and break stuff. Geico's mobile app is speedy and makes it easy for Perry to get roadside assistance with the tap of his finger.
Geico. Wherever, whenever. Just a click away with our free mobile app.
Good morning from 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL. You're waking up with Ron Stutz. And remember, we're your station for the Tar Heels.
747.
And now, WCHL presents the Commentators.
This is Libby Huff. I picked up the latest issue of The Weekly and read the article, A Brother Called Home. Two words in the first paragraph hit me particularly hard. Cardiac arrest. The pain of losing their beautiful boy this way brought tears to my eyes. I came very close to losing a child to cardiac arrest. Natalie was 17 and alone in the bathroom of her high school texting a friend when it happened. The school called and told me she had fainted and that an ambulance was on the way. As a parent of a teenager, my first thought was, an ambulance for fainting? Then, what sort of drug did she do? Only it wasn't a faint and there were no drugs involved. Turns out Natalie has an electrical issue with her heart, known as long QT syndrome. There is no heart disease, nothing can be done to prevent it, and it's genetic. Oftentimes, a family's first clue that something is wrong with their child is that that child has a cardiac arrest and is lost forever. Statistically speaking, 50% of children who have a cardiac arrest away from the hospital don't survive. Of the 50% who make it to the hospital, 50% don't live to return home. The odds are not in your favor. Thankfully, our story has a happy ending. Natalie defied all odds and did come home. She is now a senior in college. She will take medication for the rest of her life, and she has an implantable cardiac defibrillator in her chest. These measures are our protection from losing her too soon. I have no idea if Harris Farr, the young man profiled in the news lately, has long QT syndrome, but the circumstances of his death, passing while asleep, are not uncommon in the long QT set of stories. So what's a community to do? First, we have to have all children, not just athletes, screened for heart issues. In Natalie's case, a simple EKG reveals the electrical problem. Second, we need everyone trained to use CPR and an automatic external defibrillator, or an AED. And AEDs must be in all public places, every church, restaurant, campus building, and community center. Our story involves many brave students and teachers who came together one afternoon at our local high school doing CPR and using an AED to get Natalie's heart going a bit until EMS got there. My heart goes out to the Farr family. We were inches away from the same outcome. I want all children screened, and I want AEDs everywhere. This is Libby Huff.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues, on 97.9 FM, WCHL. What You're Saying on the Street, presented by ISIS IT. What You're Saying on the Street.
I'm Kyle Eng. PJ Harrison was recently drafted by the Charlotte Hornets. We hit the streets to find out how well you think he'll be in the NBA.
My name is Cortez McRae. I stay off 15-5-1. I think PJ Harrison would be awesome. I'm a huge UNC fan. Give him a chance.
Hey, my name is Adam. I'm from the Chapel Hill area. I think he's got a good three-point shot, so he's definitely going to make it pretty well on the Charlotte team that needs a three-point shooter. So
my name is Ed Hardison. I'm from Durham, and when it comes to PJ Harrison in the NBA, I give him a pretty good chance of, you know, being moderately successful his first few years. Hopefully he'll break out. He's got a good shot. He'll have a lot of, like, I guess he'll have a lot of fans around here. I think he'll do okay. Yeah, he needs to get out of Durham, though. He needs to stay away from Durham.
My name is James Harrison, and I believe that PJ Harrison will be pretty good in the NBA. He'll be a great attribute to the Hornets.
How good do you think PJ Harrison will be in the NBA?
I'm Jason West. I'm from the Durham area. I think PJ Harrison will be pretty good in the NBA. He's a pretty good shooter. He takes good shots. I figured he forced a little bit more when he went to the D League, but I seen in college that he'll be a pretty good role player.
I'm Kamark Harrison. I think PJ Harrison will be all right because he didn't finish his years at North Carolina, so he didn't finish developing yet. So that's what I think about it.
Hey, this is Bradley Farrell. I think PJ Harrison will be a good player in the NBA. I think he's got a lot of potential. He had a little off-court issues, but hopefully that's behind him.
That's What You're Saying on the Street. On 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. What You're Saying on the Street, presented by ISIS IT. Managed IT solutions to fit your needs. Find out how they can save you money at igotfixed.com.
Time now for traffic and weather together. This traffic report on WCHL is brought to you by Five Guys Burgers and Fries.
Thank you very much, Ron. Traffic still moving fairly smoothly, but 15501 northbound and southbound might see some delays between Estes Drive and Ephesus Church Road. And otherwise, not too bad out there. No accidents, no additional delays. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
Nothing beats Five Guys hand-formed patties of fresh ground beef piled high with any or all of 15 free toppings, plus their fresh-cut Idaho fries. Five Guys Burgers and Fries, Menomont Village in Chapel Hill. You got to check it out. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather brought to you this morning by Grimble Jewelers. It's 74 degrees right now, partly sunny, showers and thunderstorms likely in the afternoon. Well, likely to the tune of 70%. High today about 88 degrees, not quite as hot. Tonight, also 70% chance for showers and maybe thunderstorms. Low tonight in the upper 60s. Tomorrow for Independence Day, really kind of nice. Partly sunny. There's a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms in the morning tomorrow, with a high tomorrow in the 85-degree range and virtually no chance of rain later today. So love that kind of stuff for the 4th of July. Grimble Jewelers has your engagement ring. You've been thinking about popping the question? Go see Berkeley Grimble. He's always there for you. It's Chapel Hill's premier full-service jeweler, Grimble's, in the Village Plaza on Elliott Road, right next to Whole Foods. 753 WCHL. Ladies and gentlemen, say hello, as always, to Wayne Pond. I'm so excited.
Oh, I love the warm welcome. I love the warm welcome. Good morning, Big Ron Boy. How are you, pal?
Everything I do going to be funky from now on.
I love it. I just love it. Hey, well, listen, I got a dandy for you this morning. I looked over on the word of the day stack over there, and you ain't going to believe this one. Have you ever heard the term left-handed marriage, Ron?
No, I don't think so.
No, I hadn't either, as a matter of fact. That's part of the explanation that the wordsmith offers here for the word of the day. The word of the day is morganatic. Morganatic. M as in mother, M-O-R-G-A-N-A-T-I-C. M-O-R-G-A-N-A-T-I-C. Morganatic is a word that comes into English about 400 or 500 years ago. It comes to us from German, essentially.
Uh-huh.
It's all about marriages between two people of different social ranks or stations.
Oh, okay.
And one of the nicknames that it acquired over the years is a left-handed marriage. The trick here, boy, the lawyers are going to love this one. This is about marriages arranged in such a way that the spouse or the children do not share the titles or the possessions of the higher ranking, that is to say, in terms of social station, spouses.
Did you just
stand all amazed in front of words like this?
I really do. I never heard of that. That's kind of ridiculous, actually.
Ain't that a not only ridiculous, but true, huh?
Yeah.
Morganatic, M-O-R-G-A-N-A-T-I-C. It's about marriages between two people of different social ranks that dictate that the spouses of the lower rank and the children do not ascend to the higher social station.
My goodness.
Oh, boy, I tell you, there's a movie in there somewhere, okay?
Yeah, there is.
All right. All right, pal. Well, I thought you'd enjoy that one.
Yeah.
Morganatic, your word of the day, brought to you by your friendly word meister here. So
that's good. That's a good one.
I'll talk to you in the morning. Be a good boy.
Thank you, buddy. Word of the day with Wayne Pond, brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else? Sometime next hour, you'll have an opportunity to call in and tell me the word of the day, spell it, and define it. And if you're the first to do so correctly, I'll give you a $10 gift card to Cruisers. 7:56. Time now for the clean joke of the day. WCHL, I'm Ron Stutz. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Marissa Peterson.
Hello.
Hey, Marissa. How's it going? I know you've been going through the mailbag, and you got more from Mae McClendon. So.
We do. We have another good one. So let's see if this will make us laugh again.
I'm really curious about this because Mae is in the habit of sending us good jokes. I don't know what we would do without her.
Okay, so a man drinks a shot of whiskey every night before bed.
That'll knock him right out.
After years of this, the wife wants him to quit. She gets two shot glasses, fills one with water and the other with whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
After getting him to the table that had the glasses, she brings his bait box. She says...
His bait box. So the guy's a fisherman, I guess.
I'm assuming.
Yeah.
She says, I want you to see this. She puts a worm in the water, and the worm swims around. She puts a worm in the whiskey, and the worm dies immediately. Then she says, feeling that she has made her point clear, what do you have to say about this experiment? He responded by saying, if I drink whiskey, I won't get worms.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights the great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Camille McGirt is co-founder of a great organization for girls called Healthy Girls Save the World. She's today's WCHL hometown hero.
Healthy Girls Save the World is a program that promotes healthy minds, healthy bodies, and healthy relationships for girls in 6th through 9th grade. And we have events at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill where we allow our girls to meet college athletes, engage in physical activity, and learn about respectful and positive relationships through our many lessons and activities that we have for our girls. And every year we have a summer experience, which is a week-long summer camp. Our girls get to come to campus, and they get to explore campus and be college athletes and go to the garden, cook, and participate in a lot of different activities that we have for them to learn about many different facets of health and wellness. And we hope that they will make healthy choices in their lives and continue to make healthy choices in our lives as they continue to grow older.
All you have to do is listen to Camille talk, and you know that she's really proud of her organization. And she knows how important it is to provide good female role models for young girls in grades 6 through 9.
We would really like to make sure that girls are definitely making healthy choices, and we really pride ourselves in exposing our girls to a lot of different sports
college athletes in education. And we really hope that girls will retain the knowledge that we are giving them and use it in their daily lives. I would also like for the audience to know that we do have a website, healthygirlssavetheworld.org. And we do have a lot of social media. Our Facebook page is Healthy Girls Save the World. Our Twitter is healthygirls_. Our Instagram is healthygirlssavetheworld_. And we would love it if they would follow us, like our pages, and really kind of become abreast to what we're doing, because we really are changing lives.
Her name is Camille McGirt, and she's today's WCHL Hometown Hero.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
74 degrees, 70% chance of rain later today. It's 8 o'clock.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Hurricane Arthur heads for North Carolina.
Heavy winds, heavy rain, rip currents.
Airport security, could Western travelers pose a risk?
It is very difficult to monitor them.
And a Colorado woman arrested
for allegedly supporting terrorists.
Good morning. I'm Peter King with a CBS World News Roundup. Surf's up in North Carolina's Outer Banks. Hurricane Arthur is on its way, and it's washed out 4th of July plans.
There's no good time for a hurricane. This certainly isn't one.
Residents and vacationers have been told to get out. Governor Pat McCrory.
I want to reiterate, don't put your stupid hat on.
Some have already left.
I don't want to take any chances. We've got 6 kids here with us, so we just want to make sure we're home and safe.
Others are staying put.
I'm not moving. I'm not running. A little bit of rain, a little bit of wind, never hurt anybody.
Arthur is not expected to make a direct hit when it hugs the North Carolina coastline late tonight or early tomorrow, but the wind, surf, and storm surge, well, they could be enough to make things dicey. CBS's Jim Crisula is watching.
It's been a red sky at morning here as Hurricane Arthur churns closer and closer.